Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banudari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tera Bonachari Ajamna Tera Banachari Ajaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vardhari Jasura Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tera Banachari Ujjaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan, Jaya Giri Govardhan. Jainitya Lila Pravista Astatara Satasi Siman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Shigaraha Srivasiti Gaura Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Sham Kundarada Kundi Gita Gaura Ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Gaura Premanandi All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus seed of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Excuse me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 21, text number 34. And I'm very happy to note that in looking at this verse, there's a lot of opportunity for student participation. So get yourselves ready, because I may even call your name and embarrass you in front of everyone. Who knows? All right. Narikshatatastasya yashya sesha. Siddheshvara Bhishtuta Siddhamarga Akanayam Patra Ratindra Pakshair Ucharitam Stomam Udinasama Rikshatastasya Hayavasesha Siddheshvara Bhishtuta Siddhamargaya Akarnanayam Patra Akarnayam Patra Ratindra Pakshair Ucharitam Stomam Udir Asauma Nirikshatascha Yayavaseshasa Siddheshvara Bhishtuta Siddhamarga Akarnayam Patra Ratindra Pakshair Ucharitam Stomam Hudirna Sama. Please chant. Okay, students. I'm torn between two thoughts. One is that, wow, what an amazing group of young devotees. They just look at this verse and can chant it right off. And, oh, they must have been practicing this verse in the classes. So I'll leave it at the former instead of the latter. Nirikshatatasya. While he was looking on. Yayo. He left. Asesha. Awe. That word asesha is used in the pranam mantra for Govardhan. Asesha klesha nashaya. One who removes all difficulties. So all. Siddha Ishvara. By liberated souls. Abhishtuta. Is praised. Siddha Marga. The way to the spiritual world. Akarnayam, hearing. Patra Rata Indra, of Garuda, the king of birds. Now we see that word Indra there, we would immediately think Indra, the king of heaven, but Indra actually indicates king, of which Garuda is the king of the birds. Pakshai, by the wings. Ucharitam, vibrated. Stomam. Hymns, Udirna Sama, forming the Samaveda. While the sage stood looking on, the The Lord left by the pathway leading to Vaikuntha, a path extolled by all great liberated souls. The sage stood listening as the hymns forming the basis of the Samaveda were vibrated by the flapping wings of the Lord's carrier, Garuda. Purport, Srila Prabhupada. In the Vedic literature, it is stated that the two wings of the transcendental bird Garuda, who carries the Lord everywhere, are two divisions of the Samaveda, known as Brihat and Ratnatara. Garuda works as the carrier of the Lord. Therefore, he is considered the transcendental prince of all carriers. With his two wings, Garuda began to vibrate the Samaveda, which is chanted by great sages to pacify the Lord. The Lord is worshipped by Brahma, by Lord Shiva, by Garuda, and other demigods with selected poems, and great sages worship him with the hymns of the Vedic literatures, such as the Upanishads and Samaveda. These Samaveda utterances are automatically heard by the devotee when another great devotee of the Lord, Garuda, flaps his wings. It is clearly stated here that the sage Kardama began to look to the path by which the Lord was being carried to Vaikuntha. It is thus confirmed that the Lord descends from his abode, Vaikuntha, in the spiritual sky and is carried by Garuda. The path which leads to Vaikuntha is not worshipped by the ordinary class of transcendentalists. Only those who are already liberated from material bondage can become devotees of the Lord. Those who are not liberated from material bondage cannot understand transcendental devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated, yatatam api siddhanam. There are many persons who are trying to attain perfection by striving for liberation from material bondage, and those who are actually liberated are called Brahmabhuta or Siddha. Only the Siddhas, or persons liberated from material bondage, can become devotees. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who is engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service already is liberated from the influence of the modes of material nature. Here it is also confirmed that the path of devotional service is worshipped by liberated persons, not the conditioned souls. The conditioned soul cannot understand the devotional service of the Lord. Kardama Muni was a liberated soul who saw the Supreme Lord in person, face to face. There was no doubt that he was liberated, and thus he could see Garuda carrying the Lord on the way to Vaikuntha and hear the flapping of his wings, vibrating the sound of Hare Krishna, the essence of the Samaveda. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Jinan Jinasya Lakaya Chaksu Unmilidam Yanatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachilam Pangumlam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Vancha Kapatidubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Sri Gadadha Sri Vasi Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone always, for you are an incarnation of the Lord. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating on his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, as I mentioned, we have a lot of information in this purport of Srila Prabhupada's today that lends itself to the student perspective. So we're going to try and unpack that as we go through everything here. Let me just ask, any of the students, please raise your hand if you arrived here at the temple this morning on the back of a bird. No, except for a couple of silly ones giving some untrue answers. No, we didn't. This is one of the significant differences between us in our human species and the demigods and the various incarnations of the personality of Godhead. And it's the fact that they have special carriers. Now, in one sense, this can apply to humans in the sense that various people have different types of cars, different types of vehicles that they transport themselves in. But the exalted personalities, they have a whole wide variety of different types of carriers. Lord Vishnu, of course, it's mentioned here, he rides on Garuda. Who has seen Garuda? No? How about if you just turn right around and see on the back wall there, Garuda is watching over us. Have any of you ever noticed that? Yeah. Garuda is there because he is keeping an eye on us. Who can tell me who was known for taking their darshan of the deities standing next to the Garuda column? Yes. Yes, very good. Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was staying in Jagannath Puri, he would go daily to the Jagannath Mandir, sometimes multiple times a day, and he would take his darshan from near the back, because in the Jagannath Puri temple is a large column with the deity of Garuda. Now, our Garuda is on a platform here, but same principle, that he is there with his hands folded, offering his service to the deity. The deity is the form of Lord Vishnu, and therefore he is always ready to carry him. Now, who knows the story of an old woman climbing on top of Mahaprabhu? Huh? So Mahaprabhu was one day standing there next to the Garuda column, taking the darshan of Jagannath, and one very elderly lady. Now, of course, this term elderly lady really is relevant according to your age. For some of you, elderly could be someone, oh, wow, they're 30 years old. I remember when I was a young teenager, you know, we had a slogan, don't trust anyone over 30, you know, and then you became 30. You realize, well, that was silly. So at any rate, old woman, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, who knows, but quite elderly. And she could not quite see, because you'll notice it's quite common as you get older, the body reduces you. And many older people, they don't walk so upright. Not all, but many. So this lady, she couldn't see very clearly Jagannath, but she was filled with the desire to want to see Jagannath. So here's this person there. So she literally began to climb on the back of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, this is not regular activity, not suggested. But, and Govinda, who's the servant of Lord Chaitanya, he stepped in to intervene. And please, you can't do this. But Mahaprabhu stopped. He said, no. Her great eagerness to see the Lord is manifest in this way. So at any rate, that's, a pastime Mahaprabhu has there with the Garuda column. Now, let's take a look at this principle of different types of carriers. Prabhupada mentions here that demigods and various incarnations have different types of carriers. Who can tell me what and who, that what is the carrier of Ganesh? No, all right? If you raise your hand, I'm going to call on you, so if you don't want to answer, don't raise your hand. A mouse. A rat, more specific, yes. And what is that rat's name? You know the name of the rat? My goodness. Give that boy a glubjamin. Yes, yes, a glubjamin. I mean, a musica. Sorry, I got sidetracked. They're sitting on the second shelf of my refrigerator fixed in my mind. So Ganesh rides a rat that has the name Musika. Very good. Okay. Who is the carrier of Lord Shiva? Huh? A bull. Yes, a difference there. And what is that bull's name? Let's try. Yes. Huh? Louder. Nandi. Everybody wants to hear. Nandi. Nandi is the bull carrier of Lord Shiva. Okay, here's one for you. Who is the carrier of Kartikeya? A peacock. Very good. A peacock is the carrier of Kartikeya. Let's try and keep it all a little internal here. I see we're getting excited by this process. And what is that peacock's name? Ah, that peacock's name is Paravani. Paravani the peacock. All right. What kind of a carrier does Lord Brahma ride on? First hand there. Yes. A swan. And what is the name of that swan? This side of the room, maybe? No. Hamsa. That's actually the swan's name. Hamsa. Yes. Don't look at me quizzically. I did my research. All right. Ah, here we go. Who is the carrier of Lakshmi Devi? Yes, Sri. Huh? No, that's you. You're getting different personalities mixed up. Yes. No. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Somebody follow this boy. He's going to be very successful. All right. Yes. An owl. Thank you. And not just. Oh, you said a cow? Oh, well, I gave it away. All right, sorry. All right, so an owl, but not just an owl, a white owl. A white owl. Now, who knows that? I'm going to guess since nobody knew it was an owl, nobody's going to know what the owl's name is. Uluka. 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 All right, here we go. I have another one. What is the carrier that Indra, now you can't raise your hand until I ask the question. What is the carrier that Indra rides on? An elephant. And what is that elephant's name? Aravata. All right. So we see these different personalities, and some that were also mentioned that weren't on the list here, have different ways of traveling. So, you know, if you're traveling on a swan or a peacock or a bull, you got a Mercedes or a BMW, it's not such a big deal. Not such a big deal at all. So actually, when I was a brahmachari, we used to name our cars after different, like my Sankirtan vehicle with myself and my friend Prana or my friend Bhima, depending on who we went out with, was the green Pinto that we called Raktak. And then Raktak was one of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends, for those of you that don't know. And then, of course, the red van, we called the red van Varaha. And then we had a yellow van, which we called Gora, and so on like that. So, you know, this is how we can identify the item that we're using in the service of the Lord. This is how we identify these items. In the case of the demigods, they're actual personalities, but in our case, we give them identities, names, so that we can remember the Lord in this way. So, this is the elevated position of these personalities that are taking responsibility for managing universal affairs. Now, someone might say, well, how come we don't get to ride on these things? I mean, sometimes people do try to ride on bulls, and it doesn't turn out very well. But The difference is that they've taken a much greater level of responsibility. With great responsibility, sometimes comes greater facility. So these personalities taking care of universal affairs have some facilities that are simply not available to us. Now, we have a mention here of Garuda's wings producing the sound of the Sama Veda. There are four Vedas. Let's see if you can name them. Give me one of them. Very good. I was hoping that would be the first one. That means that we have listening going on. Good. Okay, Sama Veda is one. No. We have three other Vedas. Come on. Yes, Subhadra. Which one? Yatharva Veda. Okay. We got two, the Sama and the Tharva Veda. Yes. Yajur Veda. Yes. Which one? Rig Veda, thank you. So there's our four Vedas, the Rig Veda, the Sama Veda, the Yajur Veda, and the Yatharva Veda. These are the four main books of knowledge given for guiding us on the path of devotional development. Now, the Sama Veda is what we're mentioning here. In each of these four Vedas is the Purusha Shukta. Now, Purusha Shukta is a mantra you've heard. How many of you have sat in on the fire juggas when Raghu and I are out there doing this service? Yeah? No? The rest of you don't come? All right, you should come sometime. You'd find it fun. So the Purusha Shukta is chanted at that time. The Purusha Shukta is a prayer used by the demigods to call Lord Vishnu. Now, we see earlier here, it's mentioned that the Sama Veda is recited. How does Prabhupada say it exactly? The Sama Veda is recited to appease the Lord. So the Purusha Shukta is recited when one wants the Lord's assistance or attention. When the demigods are in distress or difficulty, they go to the ocean of milk and they chant the Purusha Shukta, because what's on that ocean of milk? How? Yes, on Seshanaga. He's resting on the coils of Seshanaga. And so he's resting there very peacefully, and the demigods want his attention, so you have to call someone. Your mother comes in the morning and wakes you up. Come on, get up and get out of bed. It's time to go to school. And she comes back 15 minutes later. I told you, it's time to... And 5 minutes later, you're still not out of bed. That doesn't happen with the demigods. When they begin to recite the Purusha Shukta, Mahavishnu hears his glorification, because the Purusha Shukta is about his glories in all the different aspects of life. So then he begins to give his attention like that. So this Purusha Shukta, in one form or another, a little adjustment each, is in each of the four Vedas. And each of those Vedas has a different purpose. Here we see the Sama Veda is for pacifying the Lord. Now, we also read in this purport that Kardama Muni was watching the Lord go on the path back to Vaikuntha. Not to Kunta. Who knows what Kunta means? Kunta? Who knows what Vaikuntha means? Huh? Vaikuntha means free from anxiety. Kunta then means the place of anxiety. Oh, so much anxiety. So he can understand, as we see from this example here, that the Lord came from Vaikuntha. He came to save, to guide, to protect the devotees, to give them instruction. The Lord descends in his various incarnations for this purpose. And now that he has completed this purpose, he's returning to Vaikuntha. Prabhupada tells us here that the path to Vaikuntha is not available to ordinary transcendentalists. Now, we might think, ordinary transcendentalist? What's ordinary about a transcendentalist? It's a very elevated state. But those of us in our mundane lives, we see all transcendentalists as elevated. Yet there are differences. Just like as devotees, we have three different levels. The Kanishta Vaishnava, very lower level, just basic understanding. Then the Madhyama, which is the middle level, more understanding and able to bring others to the path. And then the Uttama, the topmost type of devotee. So here's three different types of devotees. So we can understand there's three different types of transcendentalists as well. Gyanis, one who's in knowledge. Yogis, one who's perfected different types of yoga practice. And bhaktis, those who have perfected devotional service. So these are the different divisions that we see there. Now, Prabhupada refers to this very famous verse from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse number 3. We have any sloka walas in this group here that know this verse? Manusyanam sahasreshu. Anybody know that? Kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam, kaschid mam viti tatvataha. Tatvata, this is a very important word in there. Out of many thousands of people, one who endeavors for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So Krishna's widening the range here of who can actually be a devotee. Many, many thousands of people are there, and of those, only a small portion are interested in the process of perfecting their lives. And of those, only a smaller portion actually know Krishna Bhakti. So we're very fortunate to be sitting here. I mean, if you do a ratio, a math ratio of the percentage of people that are in, of the number of people that are in this county, and then the number of people that are in this temple attending these programs, I think you'll find it's quite off balance. So don't say you'll never have to learn how to use fractions. That's one that you'll probably look at. Yes, still a lot higher than many places. I remember when I was in St. Louis, we had about 9 devotees in the temple. You know, so, you know, very small setup there. So, in this verse, this Manusyanam, Prabhupada explains that only a perfected devotee, and he elaborates on that in this purport, not a jnani, not a yogi, but a bhakti, can be liberated. So we're all at that doorstep. We've received knowledge, we've understood different types of yoga activities, and that's brought us to this human form of life where we have now embraced the path of bhakti. So we're one of those three types of transcendentalists. And what happens when we're there? We become liberated from the modes of material nature, hopefully. Now, sometimes, you know, we still are impacted by this. When I was a young devotee, we had one devotee in the temple. I'll politely leave out his name out of respect to him. He's no longer with us. He's departed this world. But you could look at his face some days and know that he's just not with us today. You say, Prabhu, what's going on? And he say, oh, you know, it's that old crazy mind under the modes of material nature. So we don't want to be that individual. We want to be above the modes of material nature. What are the three modes of material nature? Who can tell me one of them? Yes. Passion is one. Ignorance is another. I'd like to get some new voices. Goodness. So ignorance, passion, and goodness, the three modes of material nature. Now, we may think that, you know, I want to be in the mode of goodness. But actually, if we read deeply into our scriptures, the mode of goodness isn't even recognized. Not encouraged. It's not the goal. Shuddha sattva, which means pure goodness, free from any type of motivation, is what's suggested for us. Now, this statement by Prabhupada could be a little intimidating. You know, only one who's free from the three modes of material nature can worship and understand devotional service. Ouch. That might sting a little bit, you know. But fortunately for us, we have many, many examples of personalities who are on that platform that we can follow. The great personalities of Srimad Bhagavatam, and even within our own ISKCON society, many devotees of very elevated status. So we can take encouragement that there is a possibility. This statement may seem a little bit daunting Because, you know, I'm struggling just to get out of bed in the morning. How am I going to be free to modes of material nature and engage in pure devotional service? But we have these examples. Now, this example that we're given in this section of the Bhagavatam is Kardama Muni. And we see a very interesting thing about Kardama Muni's example. He's not a sannyasi. He's not a brahmachari. He's a householder. He's a grihastha. So we can see that such examples are there for us in our household ashram. Actually, most of the examples we have in Srimad Bhagavatam deal with the grihastha ashram. Take the 12 Mahajans, for instance. Svayambhu Narada Sambhu, Kumara Kapila Manu, Pralada Janaka Bhishmo, Balir Vyasakir Vayum. So let's examine those. Prabhupada does this on one lecture. Lord Brahma, what ashram is he in? Come on, work with me here. Lord Brahma, what ashram is he in? Huh? Yes, he's a householder, okay. Narada Muni. Not getting much cooperation here, am I? All right, Narada Muni, the renunciate, the brahmachari. Lord Shiva, he's a householder. The four Kumaras. All right, we got two for two going here. All right, Lord Kapila, renunciate. Well, he's not married. Svayambhuva Manu, grihastha. Prahlad Maharaj, grihastha. Janaka Maharaj, grihastha. Bhishma, householder. We think of him as a brahmachari because he took a vow of celibacy, but his involvement in the managerial functions of the kingdom indicate him into the householder side too. So now we get six over here. Bali Maharaj, householder, seven. Sukadev Goswami, renunciate, right? And finally, Yamaraj. So we see the balance is quite to this side, that the householder ashram is predominantly the example we have for us. And this is confirmed by different instructions in the Shastra that the renunciate element of society, when we're looking at Varnashram, the sannyasi, the brahmachari element, 25% at best. It's a smaller element, but they are supported by the householders. And the householders have many examples of how they can be Krishna conscious and earth. So there is hope for us. It's very wonderful. There is hope for us. Now, this purport also, we see that there is a solid example of how we can become liberated. And Kardama Muni is such a liberated soul that he sees Krishna face to face. Now, we get the opportunity of seeing Radha Shamsundar, Krishna Balaram, Nitai Gaur face to face every day. We, being honest, we see the deity. Maybe there's one or two of you in the room here that are seeing Krishna there playing on a flute and can hear the flute. I don't know. I don't think so, but we'll be fair. But Kardama Muni was actually seeing Krishna face to face. So this is an aspiring goal that we can look to attain. And we have full facility for that. The training that you're receiving as young Vaishnava students, the training we're receiving as older devotees, the examples we're reading about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions we're given by Srila Prabhupada, these are all there for the purpose of allowing us to follow this path back to home and see Krishna face to face. This is the thing. And when we are in that situated position, when we are liberated like that, we will be able to hear not just the moving of the wings of the bird, of Garuda, but the actual Samaveda emanating from those wings. I've got a couple of nice bird feeders just outside the kitchen window, a little bit on one of those poles like everybody does, and the birds are out there this time of year very much. You know, I got to keep bird feed in there, and, you know, I figured out a way to keep the squirrels off of it. Anybody wants to know, I'll tell you about it another time, but this bird feeder there, I see the birds and I see their flapping of the wings all the time, but I don't hear any Samaveda I don't hear any Rig Veda, no Atharva Veda, no Yajur Veda, you know. I don't even hear any Hare Krishna mantra coming out of those wings. But we see here that Kardama Muni, because of his advancement on the path of devotional service and because of his liberation, he was able to see very clearly the form of the Lord, see the form of the Lord on Garuda, and at the same time, hear the Samaveda emanating from the wings of Garuda. So this is something we can aspire to. This is something we can hope for. This is something that is available to us if we apply ourselves. So I just have these few points from here today. There was something else that came to mind I'd like to look at real quick and refer back to. Prabhupada mentions here in the purport this. Yes. That the level of worship, it's not that as a devotee, we just engage in worshiping the Lord and then that's it. Once we achieve perfection, it's done. We see that even the demigods, while still maintaining their elevated positions, are also engaged. And this is what Prabhupada mentions here. The Lord's worship by Brahma, by Shiva, not only Garuda. This is why Garuda has the folded hands. When we come before a personality we want to serve, we come with folded hands. A friend of mine, an older devotee, told me one time, when you come before the deities, he said, you don't fold your hands behind your back, you know. You hold them in front of you. This is a element of physical speaking. You know, there are different people that train us at how you can look at someone and have a conversation, understand their state of mind by how they present themselves. And the hands folded in front are, I'm ready to do something. What can I do for you? The hands held behind is, I'm powering over you. I'm in charge here. Are you ready to do what I say? You know, so in that way, we see that the folded hands, Garuda, Brahma, Shiva, whenever they all come before the Lord, and there's so many different stories of this, they all have their hands folded and kept in this manner like that. So this is a very good example for us. This is a very simple purport, but some very, very important points here. We'll read the verse again. While the sage stood looking on, the Lord left by the pathway leading to Vaikuntha, a path extolled by all great liberated souls. The sage stood listening as the hymns forming the basis of the Samaveda were vibrated by the flapping wings of the Lord's carrier, Garuda. So it's rare that I finish with a room full of students still. Any questions? Oh, I spoke too soon. They're all out the door. Okay, questions, comments, corrections from anyone else? No? What's that? Bhishma Dev. I was on the fence about this, and then I read that it mentions that, yes, he took the vows of renunciation, but he was engaged in the household activities, overseeing the kingdom, overseeing the kids, involved with the, you know, all the different activities and affairs like this. So that's why he was put on that side. But even if we put a question mark behind him, still the householders are more prone. Exactly. All right. Thank you all very much. We'll finish Bhagavatam. Oh, yes. Question in the back here. Yes. Mataji.
You were speaking earlier about how, you know, it's so hard. Everything has to be perfect to perform this bhakti yoga, you know. Like, if you don't do this right and you don't have that. And, you know, sometimes when I hear those quotes, I think, what chance do you have? Yeah. You know, I mean, I can't do all that austerity. I can't do this. Oh, I can't, what am I going to, you know? And I just wonder, how do more advanced devotees deal with that? How do you incorporate it? How do you make advancement while you're going through that?
Well, as I mentioned here in the body that I was talking, that, you know, the idea that we have to be completely pure, free from the modes of material nature, is indicated there. But while we may not be there, we're still attempting to be there. As Prabhupada said, when someone's dirty, if they're in the shower cleaning themselves, they can't be criticized. Oh, you've got so much dirt on you. No, I'm in here working on it. I'm scrubbing extra. I got a fingernail brush. I'm going at it, you know. So we have to understand that, you know, our efforts to place ourselves at that level, to embrace what will get us to that level, count equally so as being at that level. What was it Prabhupada used to say? A mango is a mango, whether it's green or ripe. If it's green, it gets used one way. If it's ripe, it gets used another. And that cleansing process goes deeper. For instance, we wash our hands. Everybody washes their hands daily, you know, just kind of a little, maybe a little, just water, rinse it off. Or maybe a little more, okay, do some soap. But if you're a surgeon, you're like in there with the cleaning stuff and a brush for 20 minutes cleaning the hands, you know? So you want to get really deep and clean before you enter into the surgical service. So similarly, our process of chanting is what's cleaning us, but how deeply we're going into that chanting, how deeply we're going into the sangha we have, how deeply we're understanding what we're reading is what's going to determine how much we are ahead or behind on that path. And here again, there's not really a behind as long as we're making an honest endeavor. That's the real issue. So, you know, we shouldn't become too depressed. Oh, my God, you know, we're reading about Kardama Muni and Bali Maharaj and Bhishma Dev, all these great, but I can never come to that level. Okay, maybe I can't come to that level. I mean, there's most of the devotees that we associate with in ISKCON, I can never come to that level. But by honest, sincere endeavor, that will be the doorway that opens us onto that path. All right, so we'll finish here today. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.